Good morning. Psalm 27 this morning, our memory verse. You'll find your place in Psalm 27 and verse number 4. And staying with me, Psalm 27 and verse number 4. Let's say it together, please. Psalm 27, 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. Psalm 27, 4. One more time, please. Psalm 27, 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. Psalm 27, 4. One last time. Psalm 27, 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. Psalm 27, 4. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for all that You've done for us already this week and for this day. We pray now, dear Lord, that You would be with us in this study. And I pray, dear Lord, that You would help us, dear Lord, to continue to honor and glorify You, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Exodus 26 is where we're at this morning. Exodus chapter number 26. As we continue our study of the tabernacle and the book of Exodus, as we have seen a revelation of redemption from the first chapter all the way through now into the parts of the tabernacle, we see Jesus Christ is revealed throughout this book. And He's also revealed as the sacrificial lamb, the substitute lamb. He is revealed as the blood sacrifice that not only atoned for sin, but took away sin. And all the things that partake in the book of Exodus all portray the work and characteristics and attributes of Jesus Christ. So as we come to chapter 26, last week we saw the courtyard and the linen curtains. This week we come to Exodus 26 and we look now at, moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet with cherubims. Of cunning work shalt thou make them. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have 1 measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together one to another, and other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of one of the curtains from the selvage in the coupling, and likewise thou shalt make in the uttermost edge of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 taches of gold, and couple the curtains together with the taches, and it shall be one tabernacle. Now, what in the world is this talking about? We've already talked about the curtain and the linen curtain that goes around the tabernacle. What this curtain is actually the roof of the holy place and the holy of holies. And so we see here, first of all, there is actually, if we continue, and we will continue reading chapter 26 today, there are 4 coverings over the tabernacle, over the holy place and the holy of holies. There's 4 roofs. Well, there's 1 roof, 4 coverings. And those 4 coverings all mean something very specific to the attributes and characteristics of Jesus Christ. For everything, as we have said, portrays Christ in the tabernacle. So as we come to the roof of the tabernacle, it does consist of 4 materials or 4 layers of 4 different types of material. The first covering placed over the tabernacle, which we just read, is made of linen, fine twine linen, the finest they could make. But it was only visible from the inside. It was only visible from those that could enter the holy place and those that could enter the Holy of Holies, the priests, the Levites, and in the Holy of Holies, only the high priest, and only 1 time a year on the Day of Atonement. So in this inside covering, what we see is a beautiful sewn garment of fine twined linen with cunning work, it says, of blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubims all embroidered into the garments, but that's only visible from the inside. This covering that they sewn together, it covered the entire top of the tabernacle of the holy place and the holy of holies. And it hung over the sides and almost touching the ground from the back and the sides as it covered. It was beautifully embroidered on the pattern of this linen sheet with cherubims that overshadowed the holy place, the holy of holies, and those that served inside. So as we've seen just in these first six verses in Exodus 26, this is a beautiful curtain. And it forms the ceiling of the tabernacle. It's visible only, though, and exclusively to those inside. So let's first look at this linen, this first layer that's noticeable inside of the holy place and the holy of holies. It is a linen curtain formed from the ceiling, which represents a fine twine. White linen always represents Christ and His purity and His perfectness and His righteousness and His holiness. To see Christ as the Son of God, the glorious Redeemer, we must first see Him as the Levites that served in the holy place and the Holy of Holies saw Him. They saw Him as they looked up into the tabernacle's curtain ceiling. They see the redemptive work of Christ. They see the perfect Son of God. They see their Redeemer. So we must see Christ, first of all, as the priest saw Him. We must be, as we have talked about, and to enter the tabernacle. It's one thing to understand there's one door in the tabernacle. It's one thing to understand that Jesus Christ is representative of the door, where He says, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. It's one thing to understand Jesus is the Son of God. It's one thing to understand and believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. It's one thing to understand and believe that He died on the cross. It's one thing to believe that He was the Savior of the world and His sacrificial death was to take place to help us be able to have forgiveness of sins. It is one thing to believe those things, but it's another to accept those things. So you can stand outside the door of the tabernacle and never enter in. Well, you're not a believer. You don't accept. You have not taken that step of faith to enter through the door. For the first thing you enter in and see is the brazen altar, which is the picture of the cross of Christ and His sacrifice for you and for me. So it's one thing just to believe. As John 1:12 tells us, you have to believe and receive. So once you receive, you have stepped through the door. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. To be able to witness this curtain within the holy place and the holy of holies, you must first be in Christ. You must have first received Christ. To know Christ and to know Christ's beauty, to know Christ and His glorious mercy and His grace, we must be in Christ. To be outside of Christ is just to come to the door and never enter. You won't know the beauty of Christ. You won't know the forgiveness of Christ. You won't understand His grace and His mercy like someone that has entered the door. You're just outside looking in. So to see the beautiful embroidery cherubims and the blue and the purple and the scarlet on this fine twine white linen curtain or ceiling, you can't see that unless you're in Christ. So you can't understand the characteristics that these represent unless you're in Christ. The curtain which forms this ceiling had those four colors, and we've seen those colors on the door already. The blue represents and stands for Christ's heavenly origin. The scarlet represents His sacrificial death. The purple represents His royal character and His regal nature. And the white of the fine twine linen represents His sinless righteousness and perfection. And each of those are represented by a gospel, as we've talked about in past weeks. In addition, there were cherubim. Now, what was the cherubim in relation to the Old Testament? What does it teach us about the cherubim? The cherubim are there as with outstretched wings, hovering as it was over the priests that are serving within these holy places. They're watching every move they make. Cherubim in the Bible are guardians of the holiness of God. In the book of Revelation, what do we see them doing? They're flying around the throne of God and saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Ezekiel tells us the cherubim are living creatures, and they have four faces: the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. And if we ever study the book of Ezekiel, all four of those things are attributes of Christ. So why shouldn't they be in the tabernacle? The face of man represents Christ's perfect humanity. The face of a lion represents His kingship and power. The face of the ox represents His sacrifice and service. And the face of an eagle represents His omniscience. All things represent Christ in this tabernacle. Nothing was done according to what Moses wanted. Remember, it was according to the pattern God gave Moses. And He said, "You must follow this pattern, for this pattern represents Christ." Let's continue reading, as we have seen back in Exodus 26, and we continue in verse 7. And we'll see the second layer of the ceiling of the tabernacle. "And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt make 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains of themselves, and shalt double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the 2nd. And thou shalt make 50 tashes of brass, and put the tashes into the loops, and couple the tent together that it may be one." These tashes are buckles, if you will, clasp. I skipped over a word, maybe you don't know, over in verse number 4, the selvage is the hem. It is where they would sew it so it wouldn't unravel. So it was like the hem. I skipped over that word. And we go back to verse 11. "Thou shalt make 50 tashes of brass." Notice, this is not the innermost covering in the holy place. If you looked up, you didn't see the goat's hair. You looked up and saw the fine twined linen. You might see some of the couplings. If you look back, hold your place in verse 11, and look over, and let me find it here, verse 6. We're talking about the fine twined linen curtain, the first layer that you would see as you looked up, the ceiling, and the couplings. Notice, "And thou shalt make 50 tashes of" what type of material? Gold, most precious item. Of course, gold is an attribute of Christ. As well as in verse 11, as we come to the second layer, "And thou shalt make 50 tashes of brass." Not that most precious of materials. Brass represents judgment. Gold represents divinity. So interesting there. And we continue on verse 12. "And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain, and that remaineth, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle, and a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth. And the links of the curtains of the tent, it shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle, on this side and on that side, to cover it." It is the second covering that goes over the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Innermost, the linen curtain. Now the second layer is made of goat's hair. As we see the goat's hair, these goat's hair curtains were placed over the linen curtains and extended down the sides and the back of the tabernacle, completely covering the linen curtain so that it could not be seen. It was protected. What does a goat represent in the Word of God but a picture of Christ as our sin bearer? The goat was a clean animal, especially the young goats, and it was fit for sacrifice upon the altar of burnt offerings. On the Day of Atonement, if we go back to Leviticus 16, we would see on the Day of Atonement, the priest was to take 2 goats. The one was slain at the altar, and his blood was poured at the base of the altar. This symbolized the sacrifice of Christ and His death on the cross. Our sins were then laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was not a sinner. He never committed one sin. God placed on Him our sins. There was no guile found in His mouth, the Word of God says. There was a transference of our guilt to Christ. He paid the price of death for us by shedding His own blood. He took our sins in order that we might become the recipients of God's righteousness. That's the first goat talked about in Leviticus 16 as it was sacrificed there at the brazen altar. But there was a second goat that was taken on the Day of Atonement. Every year on the Day of Atonement, two goats were selected. A lot was cast. The first goat was the one that was given to the Lord in sacrifice. The second goat was the goat that was now kept alive. And this goat was now, as the high priest would come and he would lay his hands upon the goat, and it would symbolize the transference of the children of Israel's sins to that goat. And having the sins of the people transferred upon that goat, that live goat, by confession and laying on of hands of the priest, it was sent into the desert. And it was never, ever to return. It was sent out by us with a strong man to send it into the desert for it never to return. This tells us and shows us of Christ as our sin bearer who carried our sins on the basis of death of the first goat that was slain, but also this second goat was now removing our sins as far as the east is from the west, as the Bible teaches us. Christ is our sin bearer, and Christ is our substitute. Glory. That is the goat's hair of the second covering. The white curtain formed the ceiling of the tabernacle proper, was underneath this goat's hair curtain, indicating that our acceptance of Christ and our righteousness and salvation depends on His substitutionary death as our sin bearer, the goat hair over the linen. Isaiah 53:6 talks about this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. To have that linen curtain applied to our lives, we must first have the goat's hair curtain over the substitutionary atonement of Christ. You know, there's a little chorus that goes, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the depths of the deepest sea, yes, my sins are gone. That's only by Christ's work. Nothing we can do but accepting, believing and accepting. So the lesson of the goat's hair covering that covers the linen covering, it speaks of our complete salvation. Our perfect righteousness is only in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in ourselves. The slain goat speaks of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. The live goat speaks of His living today, having borne our sins and made complete reconciliation for us. But then there's a third covering. Notice in verse 14, and thou shalt make a covering, Exodus 26:14, and thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skin dyed red. The third covering, third going outwards as we count from the inside going out, the third is of dyed ram skin. And it's dyed a specific color, red. This third layer of the roof of the tabernacle, made of this ram skin dyed red. This was tan leather. This was a deep dyed crimson red color placed over the goat's hair and over the linen curtain. Well, you ask, why ram skin and why dyed red? Remember, everything points to Christ in the tabernacle. It's God's pattern, not Moses' choice. Well, let's use, for the third covering, let's just use ram skin. And let's dye it red by chance. No, this was God's pattern. The ram is used as a substitute in sacrifice. Think back to Abraham and Isaac. As Abraham takes Isaac to Mount Moriah to sacrifice him, as God commanded. Of course, we know the story. He raises the knife to slay his son, and the angel stops him behind is a ram caught in the thicket. And the Bible teaches us very clearly in that portion of Scripture in Genesis that that ram, God will provide Himself a sacrifice. It's talking about Jesus Christ there. If we go to the book of Genesis and you look at the sacrifice that God made for Adam and Eve where He clothed them after their sin, and the study of that, you understand that was a ram or a sheep, most likely a ram that God sacrificed there to cover and make clothing. So the ram is a picture of the substitutionary sacrifice. The ram points to the Lord Jesus Christ and the role of our substitute as He's taking our sin. It speaks of the substitutionary atonement made by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the crimson nature, the red nature of its dye. The color red, as it occurs in the tabernacle, always speaks of the blood of Christ and His atonement that He made for our sins. This skin of ram's skin, this tan leather, is the complete covering of the sinner who dwells underneath the canopy of the tabernacle. The message of the ram's skin dyed red, covering the tabernacle, covering the goat's hair, covering the linen curtain. It is sheltering the priests that are under it with the atoning blood, secure by the blood. So we must have the linen curtain, we must have the goat's hair curtain, we must have the red skin dyed, the ram skin dyed red curtain. But there's one more we must have to show our perfect salvation in Christ. As again mentioned in the latter part of verse 14, it says, "Thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skin dyed red, and a covering above of badger's skin." The final layer, that's what you would see from the outside, is made of badger skin. Now, this word badger comes from the Hebrew word tekash, and it can mean two different animals. It can mean badger, which is not very prevalent in the desert of Mount Sinai. But it also can be defined and interpreted as a creature similar to a manatee. It's called a dugong, and it's found, of all places, in the Nile River and in the Red Sea. These skins were much larger than a badger. Now, could this be a perfect definition of this Hebrew word badger? Yes. God can use that. He can supply the badgers. Could it also be a dugong? Yes, it could be, because these animals were water creatures and they lived in the water, so their skins would be larger and waterproof. They would have been easily acquired in the Nile River. They would have been easily acquired in the Red Sea. They would have been easily acquired by the Egyptians. If you looked at this skin, it had no attraction. There was no color. There was no beauty to this skin. It was a dull, drab, and bluish gray. If you think of the outer covering that covers the holy place and the Holy of Holies, that would be visible to all. This outer covering was first exposed to the heat of the sun. It was exposed to the rain as they moved up out of the desert towards the Jordan River. It was exposed to the storms and to the rain and to the elements continually, so it had to be durable. It was the only covering visible to the outsider and had nothing appealing about it at all. It did not give any indication of what beauty was within. The fourth covering is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ as humanity. So what does Isaiah say about this as we go to Isaiah 53? Isaiah 53, this just verse 2 and 3. "For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant." We know Isaiah 53 speaks about Jesus Christ. "For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. For He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not." There was no form of comeliness in the humanity of Christ. He was a man. I believe he was a man's man. But he was just a man as it appeared to others. He just looked like a man. There was no glowing about him, no aura about him. As you looked at Christ, he looked like any other man. Now, of course, his words and his actions spoke differently. The world, the unregenerate man, does not see anything appealing in the man Jesus Christ until they're convicted of their sin. Once you pass through the door of the tabernacle, though, you can see his inner beauty. For, again, you stand outside that door, you're not in Christ. But once you enter the door by way of Jesus Christ, you into eternal life, you enter in into the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, you now see Jesus differently. For when before I was saved, I believed Jesus was the Son of God. I believed Jesus was born of a virgin. I believed that He died on a cross. I understand a little bit about that, but I never understood He did that for me. And I never understood that I had to not only believe that, I had to receive it. And once someone showed me that, I was immediately acceptance that I want, and I entered in. Now, as I see Jesus, oh, what a picture. What a picture. We can't define for all of us as we look at the face of Christ in our eyes, we won't even do justice to what He will appear to us one day when we see Him face to face. But outside the fence, He's just a man. What is, you know, we go knock on doors, what does your Jesus offer me that my Redeemer, my God, doesn't offer me? They don't see any difference. You know, the badger skin here represents all that the world can see in the person of Lord Jesus Christ. That's all they can see. You can stand on the outside of the courtyard, out into the encircling camps, and you can see the outer white linen fence that says, "Don't enter, stay back." You can see part of the roof that covers the holy place and the holy of holies. There's nothing great about it. It's just a drab, dull, gray, bluish roof. You know, what's so special about this place? There were strangers in the camp that came with them from Egypt. What is so special about this place? My, when you step through the door, though, it is special. Just a few thoughts here on the badger skin. As it was very easily obtained from the Egyptians while they were in captivity, the Bible does mention this word again. Notice with me in the verse in the book of Ezekiel what they use this material for. Ezekiel chapter 16. Notice with me in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 10. "I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin." Their shoes were made of badger skin. "And I girded thee about with fine linen and covered thee with silk." So he shod them with badger skin. Now go back to the book of Deuteronomy and look at chapter number 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 4, as God is reminding them of His provision for them as they wander through the desert and the wilderness, "Thy raiment or their clothing waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years." They didn't outgrow, their foot didn't outgrow the materials they had for their shoes that were shod of badger skin. Now I'll just go over a few chapters to chapter 29 of the book of Deuteronomy as we use the Bible to help us understand this word. Deuteronomy chapter 29, look at verse number 5. "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness, and your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot." Their shoes didn't wear out. That's a miracle of God. Notice over in the book of Nehemiah, one last place, book of Nehemiah in chapter number 9. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 21, the Bible says, "Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not." God is saying, I want you to use the material that I have provided you for your shoes to cover the last outer covering of the tabernacle. Well, God, we don't know how long we're going to be on the road. You know, it was going to be a relatively short journey until they complained and sided with these 10 spies at Kadesh Barnea, and God sent them into the wilderness. And now they are continually wandering through this wilderness. You know anything about a hot climate with the hot ground, asphalt or hot sand? It will quickly wear out your shoes. Your soles, especially if they're rubber, they'll just start melting if it's that hot. And here they have been provided this provision to make shoes, and they're not worried about what they are going to wear because they must have a plenty because they have enough to cover the whole tabernacle roof. And God is basically saying to them, use the materials that I have provided for you to make this covering. He is demanding that they give this precious leather that's plentiful in Egypt but unobtainable in the desert for the covering of this tabernacle for the service of God. God is basically asking them to give up their shoe leather. Literally, give me the shoes off your feet. And they give and give, remember? They give and they give until Moses has to say, okay, you've given too much. You know, but God rewards obedience. Did their shoes ever wear out? For 40 years, their shoes never wore out. Neither did their clothes. You couldn't get flax in the desert either. As we close on these coverings of the tabernacle, we see we have the badger skin. Dull, drab, not much to look at. But it had a purpose. It was durable. It was weatherproof. It protected the inner parts of the tabernacle. It was the structure of the tabernacle's covering as it pictures the humanity of Christ. If Christ did not come, who would have died on the cross? For we needed a Savior. We've already seen we had to have a Savior. We had to have a Redeemer. So if the plan of God says, Jesus, you must go and indwell, tabernacle into a body, and suffer all of the despisable things that man did to him, and go to the cross and bleed and die, be buried in a borrowed tomb, but praise the Lord, 3 days later he arose. If that was the plan of God and Jesus said, no, I don't want any of it. Can't we just do that from heaven? Can't we just make some way that we can have man's salvation from heaven so I don't have to go? No, that was God's plan. Just as the pattern was God's pattern, he said, no, it must be a badger skin roof. And it must be the outer roof forming the humanity, picturing, symbolizing the humanity of Christ, that he must come and indwell. And then as we see the ram skin dyed red is under that. And as you see the picture, Christ comes, he goes to the cross and becomes the blood sacrifice, the substitutionary sacrifice for us, which is pictured by the ram skin dyed red. And under that is the goat skin. And the goat skin is showing us all of the provision of Christ through his gloriness of our sin bearer and our substitute. And then the innermost layer, the linen, shows the righteousness of Christ. As he comes out of the tomb, you could compare this to his birth, his death, his sacrifice, his sin-bearing, and his resurrection through the coverings. For in the as God raised him from the dead, God accepted his sacrifice. The law has been fulfilled. Tetelestai, he says on the cross. It's all been finished. God's work is finished. And he's saying, look at Christ. He's righteous. He's holy. He's perfect. As you wander into the holy place and the holy of holies, remember in the New Testament, the rent and the veil. And all now have access into the holy place and the holy of holies. And we can look up and see the inner beauty of Christ. And the blue and the scarlet and the purple cunning work and the embroidery cherubim that are going about saying, holy, holy, holy is God Almighty. That's what we should be saying. Holy, 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 God is almighty, all powerful. All is due His name. For there is nothing in us that could enter into the holy and holy. There's nothing in us that can enter into the holy place. We must come through the door. We must. We must enter in by Christ. That's the message. That's the lesson of the curtains, of the roof coverings, as we see in the tabernacle. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would help us. A lot of material to try to absorb, Lord. But if we would just accept, it talks about you. And see that how precious Jesus Christ is as we enter in through the door. He's really not much to us before we enter in the door. He's just another person, another man. Another God in the long list of gods that man and world try to worship. But once we enter in through the door, once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, my, how beautiful He is to us. We thank you, Lord, for being our Savior, for being our Redeemer, and leaving us this understanding of the tabernacle and its beautiful picture of our Savior. Bless now in the next hour, be with our pastor. I pray, dear Lord, you give him exactly what he needs to bring forth the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.